Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Thank you, gentlemen and folks. It is now time for us to visit with Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissoon. Larry's been with me right here on what we call Campfire Talk for the past 20 years. Larry, thank you for the past 20 years, and let's make a pact to do this a long, long time more. What do you say?
You just made a pact as far as I'm concerned, and I appreciate this. I've said so many times in the past, this is the one thing I look forward to every week is to you and everybody out there, and really want to thank, because of my presence here, the DSC, Conservation Education Hunter Advocacy, of course, Hornady Accurate Deadly Dependable, Stealth Vision, which is they create the finest hunting optics to be found anywhere, headquartered there in Crockett, Texas, and Taurus handguns. I love the Raging Hunter handguns and hunt with them every opportunity I can, as you well know. And you know, we're in the spring, and there's a lot of good things going on, and I have to say I had an absolutely fabulous time at the DSC Oklahoma chapter, which was held about a week ago, and great success. And with the DSC chapters, we've got one coming up in East Texas, and the East Texas chapter in May, and then we just created one along the Texas Gulf Coast called the Texas Gulf Coast chapter that I'm director on. So people want to learn more about DSC in particular in the chapters, because their chapters are being formed all over the country. They can go to biggame.org or learn more about the DSC Foundation, which is dscf.org. And of course, we'll have our summer gala and summer expo show at the Gaylord Texan there in Grapevine, Texas, July 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. And so I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of good folks there as well, too.
Yep, and you'll see me there. I'll be there.
Absolutely. And Luke Clayton, too, folks.
You know, Larry, the Dallas Safari Club, when they went to the way to have the different clubs around and the different set, instead of the Dallas one spot,
right
now it pretty much covers a lot of the country now. I know that. I mean, back east, I know there's chapters there, right?
There are chapters pretty much all over the United States right now, and new chapters are being formed almost on a daily basis. And the beauty of that is, quite frankly, is there's no other organization out there. Each of those chapters is their own 501(c) organization, tax exempt, if you will. And the way it's set up is with, if you're a DSC chapter, unlike any other organization out there, pretty much in the world, your top fundraiser, that local chapter determines where they put their 75% of that top fundraiser. 20% of that top fundraiser goes to the DSC Foundation. But then again, the local chapter can tell people or tell the foundation where they want that money to go to. Only 5% of that top fundraiser goes to the DSC organization, and that's to support guys like Bruce Borowski, who is in charge of setting up the chapters and helping to maintain them. But then if they have a second fundraiser and say it's $5 less than the first one, they keep all the money. Look, and anybody else listening out there, no other organization out there that does that. All the local chapters control essentially where all their money goes to help support local things, help support conservation wherever they want to, and that includes education as well too. So I mean, they're just a great organization. Again, I think they're like 30 plus chapters now. And last time I talked to Bruce, he was talking, said, well, we're going to add one over here and we're going to add one over here. So, you know, everybody can get involved if they want to, and they really need to be involved with those DSC chapters if they love the outdoors and love the outdoor lifestyle.
You bet. And the cool thing about it is it makes it local for the people, you know, like you say.
Absolutely.
They can tailor it. You know, of course, we talked last week about the outdoor event. I've been thinking, I wrote a newspaper column last week. Some of the editors, a lot of times the editors will name the column themselves. I'll give it a working title, but they'll put their own spin on it. But it was about how people that love the outdoors can connect. And I know that happens through the Dallas Safari Club, too. Chapters, when they start out, they may not even know each other, but they have a common bond. It's their love of the outdoors. But at our event there in Greenville, I noticed that, you know, some of the people, you know, they didn't know. The only people they knew is the ones that they came with, you know.
Exactly.
And you get the campfire going, you get the camaraderie rolling. They leave as friends. So I don't know if other I'm not a golfer, and you're not a golfer either, but I know, I know I've got a lot of great friends that are golfers, and I think they share part of that bond, but I just don't see how they could connect quite like we do. Maybe they do. I hope they do. But I don't know. Waving the flag for the outdoors right now, I know that. But it is a fact. People, you can spend a day or 2 hours with someone when it's just one-on-one, sitting in a blind, hunting, fishing out on a lake, whatever. And you can certainly get to know people, I can, a whole lot quicker than I could in most settings, Larry. So I think it's one of the reasons we like to not only enjoy the outdoors ourselves, but spend time with people we don't even know, you know?
Look, you're exactly right. And I learned a long time ago that you can learn more about a person in a hunting camp or where you're fishing or sitting around a campfire than you might any other way that you could think of. So you're right. And the outdoors is so very, very important to all of us, whether including the people that say, well, I don't even like going outdoors. Well, yes, the outdoors are important even to those people. And one of the beauties of it is, you know, the people that do love the outdoors, I talk a fair amount at different places about becoming involved with wildlife. And I tell people, I said, you know, if you live in an apartment building that's 14 stories tall and you've got a flower pot that sits outside, you know, you're a wildlife influencer when you get right down to it, because there are butterflies, there are hummingbirds, and you know, it's really all connected. But the thing about it is the habitat that we have, wildlife habitat that remains, is so important. And anything that we do to improve that habitat for the game species, be it elk, desert bighorn, pronghorn antelope, waterfowl, you know, anything having to do with wildlife that is taken and used, it's a lot of times it's those other animals like the songbirds and all the little butterflies and the moths and all those other kind of things that are out there, the salamanders, you know, frogs, toads, all those, they benefit a tremendous amount because that habitat is properly managed. And that's something that we need to make people more and more aware of. And when you get right down to it, too, that conservation is paid for by those of us who hunt and fish and buy outdoor products. There, where the money goes into the Pittman Robertson Fund or the Dingell Johnson Fund in terms of fishing, but Pittman Robertson on terrestrial wildlife. And you know, that money becomes very, very important. That money comes from the people who truly support everything there is to do about wildlife and the outdoors.
That's exactly right, Larry. You know, a good case in point, it's turkey season now. We'll talk about it later, but a couple of hunts under my belt, and I've got one more coming up. I love to hunt spring turkeys, maybe. I don't know. You know, it to me, calling turkey and all reminds me a whole lot of elk hunting. Way two different things, but it's a lot alike, too. You call and you hope, you know, you can bring the bull in or the old long beard, But close to home, and this ties in with conservation, there's a huge ranch, I don't know, 15,000 acres about, in Kaufman County here, close to where I live. Of course, you know all about it, but I'm sure our listeners may not know this, but they stock that Rios. We're right on the on the edge of the eastern and the Rio turkey area habitat, if you will. They stocked it with quite a few Rios probably 7 years ago, and I've watched that. Well, yeah, they stocked them. I guess the biologists want a large tract of land, like that 15,000 acre ranch to stock so they can control, you know, the habitat somewhat. Well, I've watched it, and I live probably, as the turkey flies, probably 3 miles from the edge of that ranch. But I've up here around where I live on the fields and all, every year I see more and more turkeys. So that's been a success. But it wouldn't have been unless the monies had come from somewhere to stock those turkeys, right? I mean, all these conservation programs, and I don't know about all of them, but like the Wild Turkey Federation and Parks and Wildlife was involved in that. But who knows? These birds, I know they've spread out probably at least triple their range in that length of time, you know?
Absolutely, and they will continue doing so. And as you mentioned, you know, that the stocking of those, that was paid for by hunters. And so, you know, even if you don't hunt, I know a lot of people like watching those birds, those gobblers strutting this time of the year, and, you know, having that sunlight shine on those strutting gobblers.
Boy. Yep.
And that iridescence, oh, my God. And you mentioned its similarity, but the beauty of turkey hunting, as far as I'm concerned, is the interaction that you have with the animals. Same thing with elk. You know, you start doing cow calls or start doing bugling and have those animals respond. Well, getting out there and hitting that whatever call you use. And I know we've talked a little bit in the past about you finding a big old muzzle shell that you're using this year to call a turkey up with. You know, so you don't need a fancy call. You know, Edgar Cotton, and particularly David Cotton, I mean, I've listened to David. David sounds more like a turkey using his natural voice than most turkeys sound like using their natural voice. So there's all kinds of different ways to call them, but it's that interaction that you get with turkeys, to me, that makes it so much fun.
That's true. We'll talk about it a little later, but one scenario that I remember is, boy, when a gobbler, what I call, cuts you off, you have got a hot gobbler. And that's what I'm talking about, is when you're calling, hen calling, whatever you're doing, and that gobbler won't let you finish. If he cuts you off with a gobble, you know, midstream in your calling, that... A turkey hunter, that'll get your hair standing straight up, you know.
Yes, it will.
It will. Well, Larry, gosh, I wish we had a long lot more time to visit, but I do appreciate you being with us. And we cover a lot of topics every week, varied. Mm-hmm. And folks, honestly, Larry and I, you may have ascertained this. We don't have it. This is not scripted. I laugh because we'll start. Well, what are we going to talk about today, Larry? Well, we'll get a general topic, and we may talk about that or we may not, you know?
You're exactly right, and I love it. I think that's very much the reason a lot of people do like listening to us, because it is very spontaneous, and we try to involve, you know, it's like they're sitting around a campfire with us.
Kind of thing. Exactly.
And that's what we strive to do.
That's what we want. Well, thank you, Larry, and look forward to getting with you here pretty soon up here in Kaufman County.
I will be there before too very long.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on, and that scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products, and folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.